It's fair to say, though, that in many ways these Bolshevik arguments might have remained nothing but a historical oddity, something to reflect on how strange these and radical these Bolsheviks were, but didn't affect the course of history, had it not been that so many workers and soldiers and peasants found these arguments, which some observers at the time described as nothing but lunacy, not to be taken seriously. Many workers and peasants and soldiers found these arguments quite sensible. And therefore, it's necessary for us to look more closely at popular attitudes, the attitudes of ordinary lower-class Russians in the course of 1917, to see why these extreme arguments by the Bolsheviks had such resonance. Now, it may be, as the saying goes, that actions speak louder than words. But at least in 1917, words were everywhere. Visitors to Russia during the revolution, such as the American journalist John Reed, were absolutely amazed by the torrent of words that the revolution seemed to unleash after the fall of the autocracy. Words filled public spaces, newspapers and leaflets, proclamations, large numbers of letters, especially sent to those people in authority, and massive amounts of talk on public squares, in factories, in barracks, in villages, on trams, at home. One of the first things one notices in reading what remains of all these words, and I should say there's a massive archival collection with this material, much of which had been secret until 1991 because it complicated a story that seemed that the Soviets wanted to tell that was meant to be clear and simple. As you'll see, it is not so simple. One of the first things one notices in reading all these words is an obsession with freedom. For just about everybody, the key meaning of the revolution was freedom. This was a concept that truly took hold and was used to define what the revolution was about. When one looks, for example, at the language of these ordinary Russians in their letters and proclamations, an end to autocracy, the promulgation of civil rights, was treated as not just political facts that would improve the country, but as something almost mythical, something almost mystical. This was to be seen as nothing less than emancipation from slavery, bought with blood. It was seen as a promise of true happiness, of a great, beautiful future. People described it as a sacred moment of resurrection in Russia, as a source of infinite feelings and great joy. This is the sort of vocabulary one sees pervasively. In fact, so moved was one soldier by the revolution that in early March he wrote a poem, not a great work of literature, but characteristic of the way Russians were talking about the revolution, its intensity of feeling. And he wrote, "Long live free Russia! A joyous cry fills my soul. Long live freedom! The red flag stills my heart. A leaden weight has fallen. The world dreams a shining dream. I'm young again. My body's drunk. My soul replete with feelings." But one has to ask, how was this joyous freedom understood? How was it defined? In part, it was defined as a negation of the lack of true freedom, a negation of years of repression. And common images one find people speaking of are broken chains and a rising sun, or as in that soldier's poem, a leaden weight has fallen. But freedom wasn't only negative. It wasn't just the absence of external authority or repression. In many ways, it was viewed as an absolute principle, as a value in itself. Sometimes this was explicit. People often spoke of the rights of man during the revolution. It was often also visible in endless talk about dignity and honor that the revolution would bring. People said, now that the revolution has come, Russians can unbend their shoulders. They can stand proud. They can stand tall. No less important, freedom had concrete, tangible meaning that had positive meaning in that it was supposed to be tangible, concrete, something you could see in your life. And lower class Russians, in fact, thought of freedom as bringing concrete social benefits. If people were really to be free, letters and resolutions repeatedly stated, they needed food. They needed land. They needed free education. They needed peace. Second major theme that one sees in all of this talk about the meaning of 1917 by ordinary Russians is the revolution was also about, and this may seem contradictory, is power. They had ideas about what the state ought to do. And one idea dominates all the others about power, namely the need for a strong and unified political authority, for what ordinary Russians often called firm authority, tvrdaya vlast, a phrase constantly heard.